this exhortation to Timothy first, just a word, and we'll look at the gospel. Set an example for those who believe. Until I arrive, attend to the reading, exhortation, and teaching. He means the public reading of the scriptures. And then, you see, the exhortation and teaching, as I pointed out before, the first duty of a bishop is to teach. That's his first duty. And so, then, interestingly enough, this allusion, do not neglect the gift you have, which was conferred on you through the prophetic word with the imposition of hands by the presbyterate. Now that's been sort of ceremonialized, but it's still true. There has to be a firm supernatural attestation to the fittingness of this candidate before the bishop will go on. And so he asks, usually the head of the seminary, or depending on who they are, do you know that he's worthy? Do you know that they're worthy? As far as I could tell, with human weakness and so forth, and the attestation of others, yes. See, but it's supposed to be a prophetic word. And then that leads to the imposition of hands. Here, you see, with the prophetic word, with the imposition of hands by the presbyterate, which happens at an ordination, as you know, and again at the ordination of a bishop, and then the rest. But you see, it's ceremonialized, as it has to be. But what's going on here is the Holy Spirit is attesting through the person who ought to know that this person is apt for ordination. It's you'll have two sons going through that pretty soon. You see, that it's a prophetic grace. In other words, who can tell except God? There are obvious signs, but anyway, I want to get on with them. Everybody likes this story. Magdala is a little town. It's in ruins now, but if you're walking along that road from, well, down in the southern part of it, along to the northern part, you go right by Magdala. Obviously, she was a prostitute. Now, why did she get so touched? We don't know. Did she hear him preach? Did she just see him someplace? Or did she only hear about him? And the Holy Spirit awakened in her. I could be different. He can forgive me my sins. And so she went against all custom to enter the house of a Pharisee. Without being invited is already a great rupture of the mores of the day. But that a woman of the streets would come into a Pharisee's house when he's having this banquet and pay no attention to them, just go kneel there. You see, of course, I think you realize that. The ancients ate lying down. There were couches and there'd be a big table here and I'd be lying like this and eating and my feet would be back there. So she came in, and that's why she could just fall down at his feet and weep. Weep gratitude. Somehow she already knew the greatness of forgiveness. Huh? And she's just weeping and sorry for her sins. Huh? And then, you see, anointed him, his feet. Well, of course, Simon's saying if this guy was any kind of a prophetic insight, he'd know who this woman is. So Jesus gives him a story. Again, notice how many times the stories have to do with being in debt. I think I've told you before, the Aramaic word for sin is chov, which means debt. The old Our Father used to, remember, used to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, the old translation. If we sin, we're in debt to God, and we can't pay it. So we go to debtor's prison unless the blood of Christ covers us. And so we're in debt to God. So if the Pharisee, I think, is bright enough to go and understand what Jesus is saying here. You see, two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages and the other 50. Since they were unable to pay, who can repay God back? He forgave it for both. Now, which of them will love him more? Now, what a strange idea to bring into a debt situation. Love. Which of them will love him the more? Now, the theologian, very carefully, the one, I suppose. What do you mean, you suppose? But theologians are like that, you know. Leave a little room for exit if you have to. The one, I suppose, you see, whose larger debt was forgiven. He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman. Do you see this woman? Now, why this Pharisee would have omitted the simple, basic things, ceremonial almost, that one does when a guest comes into the house, you see? "You gave me no water from my feet." They wore sandals and they walked on dirty roads. So it was just a basic movement of hospitality. But she, you see, bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. "You did not give me a kiss." This is sort of a kiss, you know, cheek to cheek kind of thing, part of the custom. And then some oil, perfumed oil, on the head. But she anointed my feet. So I tell you, her many sins, she doesn't deny that, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But to the one to whom little is forgiven, loves little. So if you say, "Well, I'd like to love a lot," well, then just take a look at your sins. If you think they're little, think again. You know, they're not. So your sins are forgiven. Now that was another big shock. Huh? Who is this fellow to be forgiving sins? Only God can do that. And then he said to the woman, and this is a famous line, I mean, it comes from so many places in the synoptics, "Your faith has saved you. Episti su seisoken se." But the word there, under seisoken, that's a verb, is sozin or soteria, salvation, wholeness, healing. It means all those things. Jesus is called hosotir, the Savior, the healing one. And so your faith, see, what moved her through all of this was this drive. He can fix me. That's faith. Now, the Holy Spirit moved her. She obeyed. She walked out of that room a free woman. And if the tradition is correct, this is Mary Magdalene. It's Magdala. Does it say in the text he was in Magdala? I guess we always just presume it. And Mary, these kind of traditions are so firm, so, you know, that they just drift through the whole church. And so Mary of Magdala is this Mary. And she was so grateful. She gave her whole life. She started walking with Jesus as some of the other women were doing and ministering to Jesus and the apostles out of their own funds. And she was there at the cross. Oh, boy, I'm going to stick with you see. And so who was the first one to see him? This one. This one. And again, you know, she's crying away, and she's gone to take a look, and the thing is empty. So she doesn't know what to do. I can't go on now, we got to go on. But there are certain people who have been given the grace of a deep affection for Jesus. She's one. Francis of Assisi is another. Deep affection for Jesus. And I think we could ask for that. To be privileged to love Jesus.